ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 I've been speaking on Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, backtracking to one of the names I spoke on recently. One of the names of Krishna is, or Vishnu, Krishna is not different from Vishnu. Krishna is also different from Vishnu. Can you understand that? By nyai, by logic. No, you cannot. We cannot. No one can. The name Nyaya means that Krishna is just. He is fair. Now, we learn from Shastra that Krishna can deliver and does deliver anyone from all sins. Even by the incomplete chanting of the holy names. The famous example is there of Ajamil, means he was not chanting with pure love, but he called out the name Narayana and he was freed from all sins. Whereas we find in the case of Nriga Maharaj that he'd been extremely pious and he didn't really commit a sin, it was just some kind of mistake. But nevertheless, he had to go into a hellish condition. Of course, that hellish condition led to his ultimate good fortune in that he came in contact with Krishna in the next life, in the hellish condition of being a lizard. And yes, it's a very good idea to turn off your cell phones. Is it? Well, that reminded me anyway to turn off your cell phones. Otherwise, well, Vaishnavas don't curse and I'm trying to be a Vaishnava, but otherwise you might get cursed to become a lizard and there's no guarantee you'll end up in a well and get pulled out by Krishna. Please turn off your cell phone. Already done. And we also learn from Shastra that one who eats the flesh of a cow has to suffer in a hellish condition for 1,000 births for every hair on the body of the cow. Now, if we say that in the Western world to people, they think, well, that they can't relate to it at all, because outside of Hindu culture, and actually also previously in Buddhist culture, which Buddhist culture is almost completely derived from Hindu culture, people think, well, cows, what's so special about cows? In fact, according to the Bible, or the interpretation of the Bible, the animals were given by God for us to eat. Actually, it's an interpretation of the Bible. It's not directly stated in the Bible. So people think, what's wrong with killing cows? Why so unjust that someone can just do all sinful activities and then one time say Narayana and get freed from all sinful reactions? And someone, just for doing something normal, which most people in the West do every day, is to eat some cow's meat, they have to suffer so badly. So it might seem that this is unfair. But actually it is fair, because Krishna is the center. And what he wants and what he desires is the standard, because we are all servants of him. That's what it means to be a servant of Krishna, that we act according to his direction, It's not a democracy. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arsha Bhritta Jare Joiche Nachai Tare Toiche Kare Nritta. Krishna is the only controller and all others are his servants. And according to the way he pulls the strings or the way he makes them dance, in that way they dance. So our opinion doesn't matter. I mentioned when I was speaking about this that there is a whole section of philosophy in Western philosophy called the philosophy of jurisprudence. What constitutes right and what constitutes wrong and what constitutes appropriate punishments and deterrence. But in Vedic jurisprudence, it's simply dharmaṁ tu sākṣād bhagavat pranītam. Dharma, which is also translatable into English as law, that means what is given in Shastra, which means what is given by Bhagavan. So he sets the standard, that's all. There is an absolute standard. And we may not understand or appreciate that. Another example of something very gross in the modern world, very gross but widely accepted in the modern world, is that of abortion, which is extremely sinful. But in the modern age, people think, well, it's just part of life, or actually it's part of death. Most people think it's okay, so it must be okay, but that is not the standard. Again, it's not a democracy. Whatever we think is reasonable, that doesn't count, because our opinion is, all our philosophies are shaped by the understanding or misunderstanding that we are meant for sense gratification. So Krishna is completely just, which means that he acts for the benefit of all living beings. And even though some of the statements of Shastra and some of the punishments may appear to be draconian, which means excessively harsh, but they're not. They all have their purpose, which is meant ultimately to deliver the conditioned souls back to their constitutional happy position. So Krishna has the benefit of everyone in mind. His laws are completely just because they're based on the benefit, the principle of benefit for all living beings. And again, in the philosophy of jurisprudence or in social philosophy in general, there are different ideas about what constitutes the good or what is best for all people, and different political theories have been dreamed up, just like this democracy, where everyone has an equal right to vote, and then everyone votes for who will represent them in the parliament. So it seems to be an equal system. And then there are other systems, communism, where everyone works and then no one gets more than anyone else, theoretically. So it's all based on the idea that everyone should be treated equally, everyone should have an equal opportunity. So these are the various ideas. Different theories also, economic theories, some that you shouldn't interfere with the economy, let free market economy, and that will actually be best for everyone, because those who are plucky in business, they will get ahead and organize business. And so the enterprising spirit is rewarded, whereas people who are lazy and stupid, they don't get so much of the pie. And even that's good for everyone, because those who argue for, I'm speaking in a very general way, those who argue for free market economy, they say, well, communism, it stifles individual enterprise, so it's better to have an open system in which people can strive, and those who are enterprising can organize society, and this way others are also benefited because they get jobs, and the wealth which is accumulated in the hands of a few trickles down, and there are various theories like that, but they're all faulty because they're all based on the misunderstanding that this world is meant for us to enjoy, and so they cannot be perfect. So Krishna's system is perfect. Now there are many criticisms. It's the what has become known as the Indian caste system or the Hindu caste system is widely criticized. Krishna, in response to such criticisms, we can say that Krishna's system is perfect, but humans are not. That's why we're in this world. And so the tendency to misuse any system is there, even with Krishna's system. So we can't expect perfection even in the system that Krishna gives, because after all, it is the best system for managing the imperfection of the conditioned souls. So it is a just system that there are brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas and shudras, and lower than shudras also. It is just. People get different situations according to their previous karmic activities, and they can develop in an open vanashram society, they can develop their propensities. Whatever birth situation they may have. So it is just. The idea that justice means across the board equality is a flawed idea. And then, but then if you say, well, some people are better than others from birth, congenitally better, then that also leads to misinterpretations, like the that of Adolf Hitler, who said the Aryan race, which in his interpretation meant particularly the Germans, they are superior. So whatever man-made theories that there are full of problems, and in the modern age the idea that everyone is equal, it creates many problems. As jivas, actually we are equal, but according to our karmic situation, we are in different positions, and not to acknowledge that is foolishness. And actually, even though we may say everyone is equal, we don't treat everyone as equal. We don't treat the Prime Minister equal with any ordinary person in the street. We don't treat a very rich businessman the same as anyone in the street. We don't treat a powerful political leader like anyone else in the street. They have certain privileges. And even the son of the Prime Minister has certain privileges. I suppose he has a son, I don't know much about it. The son of the President of the All India Congress Party certainly has various privileges. Such as having security arrangement. I don't know if that's a privilege, but to have, it's like being in a prison all the time, to have security wherever you go. So much security. How Krishna is just. He's not unfair. He says in Bhagavad Gita, Samohang sarva bhuteshu Name dveshosti na priyaha. Ye bhajanti tumam bhakta maite teshu chapyaham. Krishna says, I am equal to everyone, to all living beings. Well, they may say, well, if it's all living beings, what about the bugs? Do they get a vote too? No. We don't treat the bugs equal to human beings. But Krishna is equal to all living beings. He doesn't envy one. he doesn't favor anyone intrinsically. But then in the very next line, Krishna says, but those who worship me in devotion, I particularly look after them. It seems to be contradictory. But it's not, because Krishna says, I'm basically equal to everyone, but I take special care of those who worship me. But the point is that the worship of Krishna is open to everyone. He doesn't say that no one, well, actually, I only like the Indians and or the Hindus and the Brahmins, or those who are born in Mathura. Well, of course, Krishna does have special liking for Mathura Vasis. But anyone can take to bhakti. Theoretically, it's only a theory because it's history now. If Kamsa, when he saw Krishna, had bowed down and said, I surrender, I repent for all my past sins, then Krishna would have accepted him, as he did actually in the case of Jagai and Madhai, who were great sinners, and then but they repented. It's the perfect ending to the Jai Vijay false story, that they repented their sins. So that's open to anyone. So everyone gets treated equally, but devotees get treated specially. But anyone can be a devotee. No one's banned from that. So Krishna is fair to everyone. But he openly says, you want to get special privileges? Well, be my devotee. If you don't want to be my devotee, then you get your reactions for whatever you do. Want to be my devotee? You got to submit yourself, surrender yourself, then you get special protection. The example of the jail is often given. In the jail, the prisoners, they may get special privileges if they behave well, or they may get further punishment if they misbehave. But if they fully repent and they agree not to be sinful anymore, then if it's perceived that they are sincere, then they may be released. They may get an early pardon. But most of the prisoners don't want to. They're not sincere. Most prisoners, after they come out, they, at least in the Western world, they do some crime again in a short time and they go back to the prison. Some of them deliberately do a crime so they can go back to the prison because they think, well, I have food, clothing and shelter and I'm locked up, but at least I have my basic needs taken care of. They get so used to the prison life. All my friends are in there, so what's the use of being outside? There are some people like that. Okay, any of these names could be discussed on and on and on, unlimitedly. And the Vishnu Sahasranam helps us to perceive Krishna everywhere and in everything. And that is the meaning of the name Vishnu, who is all-pervading. So how to see Krishna everywhere and in everything. Krishna gives some idea of that in Bhagavad Gita, especially in the 10th chapter, and in other chapters also. So name 225 is Samiranaha, which means he who sets in motion, who causes activity, who stimulates, who promotes activity, and it also means the wind or air or breath. You've all heard that name Samir. It's quite a common name. So that means the wind. So that's one name for Krishna. He's the one who stimulates all activity. The Mayavadis, they have the idea that spiritual perfection means no activity. And we find from Bhagavad Gita that excessive activity is typical of Rajoguna, the mode of passion. And controlled, calm activity, thoughtful activity, that is typical of Sattva Guna, the mode of goodness. And the yogis, they try to balance the incoming and outgoing breaths and reach a state of mental equilibrium, where the mind is completely still. And according to the Mayavadis, that is the perfection of spiritual attainment. However, they're wrong. That means everything becomes still. What is that? Yoga, chitta, niroda. When the mind becomes completely stopped, that is called yoga. But we find that Krishna is full of activities because that produces rasa. So Krishna stimulates all activities. Now, when we think of activity, we think of activity in the material world. But of course, this material world is only a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. So spiritual world means there's all activity going on, but that is all that activity is a source of spiritual bliss. Whereas in this material world, all activity is a source of hope of bliss, but actually misery. So Krishna inspires activity. He's the inspiring force because of rasa. All activities, both material and spiritual, are performed by different living beings in pursuit of pleasure. And pleasure ultimately means the pleasure that one derives from the taste of serving Krishna and appreciating Krishna. And Krishna also appreciates his devotees, and Krishna performs wonderful, charming activities, especially in Vrindavan. In Vaikuntha, there are of course activities there also, but in Vrindavan, the quality, the very type of activity is very different to that in Vaikuntha. In Vaikuntha, you can't go up to Krishna and jump on his back, as the cowherd boys do in Vrindavan. It's a completely different mood. So Krishna, he inspires that. He wants... Why does he do that? There are so many names of Krishna. Why is he just? Why does he pervade everything? Ultimately, because that's the way he wants to be. He is as he is because he wants to be. So Krishna inspires all these activities. There are various theories about the universe, Big Bang theory, and there was nothing, and then all of a sudden there was a huge bang, and then all that was an activity, and then everything fell into place magically, and then there are so many activities all over the universe. But what is, why, if we ask atheists who say that, well, everything came from nothing, by chance, but why? They'll say, well, there's no question of why, but still we ask why. They say there's no question because they don't have any answer, but we know the answer, that Krishna is behind everything. He inspires all activities. This whole universe comes into being because of our desire to act. The Mayavadis, they want to stop acting. The conditioned souls, they want to act, but they want to act separately from Krishna. So they get a place to do it. And Krishna inspires them from within to perform various activities. They have, every conditioned soul has a stockpile of material desires, and at an appropriate time Krishna inspires them in a certain way. Now you should do this, now you should do this. So people say, well, I got an inspiration to do this. I got an idea to do this. But it's all inspired by Krishna. It all comes from Krishna. I believe Sadaputta Prabhu was the first to bring this to this point to light, which I don't think anyone, at least in the modern Western philosophical world, had done. He brought up this, the point of what is the source of inspiration? Just like the famous Eureka incident. Who was that? Euclides? Some ancient Greek mathematician sitting in his bath said, Eureka! Is the problem he had been thinking about for months was suddenly solved. It came to him in a flash when he wasn't thinking about it. And Sadaputta Prabhu, he collected many instances of such eureka moments when some scientist or mathematician had been wrestling with a problem, couldn't find the solution for weeks and months, and then one day he's just stepping onto a bus, not thinking about it. All of a sudden, in a flash, it comes in his mind. Or Mozart, the famous composer, he would just be walking out in the park, and then all of a sudden a whole symphony would come in his mind, and he'd rush home and write it all down. So Sadaputta Prabhu wrote a monograph called On Inspiration, and he says that this comes from Paramatma, that all knowledge is there with Krishna, and actually this was inspired by Srila Prabhupada, who said that Srila Prabhupada said that Krishna sees that someone is trying so hard, and then Krishna thinks, okay, give the rascal some credit, and gives him the answer. And many times in these mathematical and scientific points of inspiration, what happens is that the answer is from a completely different perspective, which they couldn't have imagined. That's called thinking outside the box. So it's Krishna. It's not the individual. I may say someone so-and-so is a genius, but that genius comes from Krishna. That's why we find that in Indian culture, or Vedic culture, that someone who is an expert in any field, still they have to offer respect to their superiors. They don't say, well, it's all my knowledge. They know that all knowledge comes from Krishna. And so, or any expertise, if they have any expertise, just like an expert musician, they will say it's all the grace of Saraswati, which I have received through my gurus. That's the proper attitude. That is, I'm expert in music, in playing sitar or whatever, but it's not really me. Everyone has to understand that if you have any expertise, it is ultimately Krishna working through me. It's not me. And Arjuna, Krishna told him, nimitta matram bhavasavyasachan. It's not, Arjuna can be an instrument in fulfilling Krishna's desire. And Arjuna found that out later after Krishna had passed away from this world. The same Arjuna who had single-handedly destroyed so many terrible enemies in combat, who had fought with Lord Shiva. He didn't defeat him, nor was he defeated by him, but he pleased him by his ability. That same Arjuna, he was overpowered by a group of bandits who, you know, normally Arjuna, in 5 minutes, he'd just finish them all off. But he was overcome. And so he realized, that's because now he realized that Krishna, what happened? Krishna withdrew his mercy or that particular ability from me. Not that Krishna withdrew his mercy, but he withdrew his ability. And so Arjuna understood, okay, Krishna left, now it's time for me to leave this world also. Similarly, Keshav Kashmiri was a great pundit. When he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was humiliated. And he went back to his lodging and he worshipped Saraswati because he thought, why, what happened? And it's, whatever learning I had came from Saraswati. Then why has my goddess, who I worship every day, she has given me this learning, why has she allowed me to be humiliated through the mouth, through this young boy? So he understood that she inspired me, and then somehow she wanted me to be, why, what's going on? I don't understand. Did I offend her or what? And then she revealed to him that actually I am also the servant of that Nimai, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so you better go and bow down to him, like I do. So the inspiration that comes from Krishna. Generally people who have musical or intellectual abilities in Vedic culture, well, they may often ascribe that to Saraswati. And in Gauriya culture we do also. But we understand that Saraswati is a servant of Krishna. Saraswati Krishna Priya. Krishna Bhakti Tarhiya. Saraswati is very dear to Krishna, and Krishna Bhakti is her very heart. So inspiration comes from Krishna, either good or bad, either exceptional like Mozart or Einstein or Keshava Kashmiri, or absolutely humdrum. Just like even the inspiration, a very common thing, a young boy sees a young girl and he becomes inspired to try to make friends with her. So it's a very common thing. That ultimately comes from Krishna. That means Kamadev. the god of so-called love is at work. So he's also representative of Krishna in this world. And Krishna is the transcendental Kamadev. He inspires also for transcendental love. So, Krishna is the inspirer of all activities. We find in Bhagavad Gita, there are five causes of action. Deshe, kale, chapatre, cha. Karanam, so time, place, the performer, the senses, and daiva. The fifth one is daiva, which means, that can be understood as destiny, but it ultimately means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Paramatma, he orchestrates all the actions of the world. He inspires people in different ways. Just like, for instance, there are many sinful people in the world. So Krishna inspires one political leader or one set of political leaders to become antagonistic toward another set of political leaders, and they all have a big fight and millions of people are killed. And it's all inspired by Krishna. The atheists say that religion is the cause of all these wars, but it's not religion, it's God. They're atheists, they don't believe in God, but it's He, actually, and it's He who inspires them to blame religion. Also, they also get their inspiration to say there is no God from God Himself. He gives them the intelligence. Then the theists have to wake up and stop just ringing their bells and waving their incense. And they have to wake up and look to Shastra and the Acharyas for some inspiration to reply to these atheists. So when we say that God caused it, yes, because the sinful people, they desire and deserve it. They actually desire, they like wars. Demoniac people like wars. And actually Kshatriya, even pious Kshatriyas, they also like the opportunity. Sukhina Kshatriya Partha Labhante Yudham Idrisham, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. The Kshatriyas are very happy to get the opportunity to fight. So either pious Kshatriya or demons, they also like to fight. Krishna also likes to fight. That's why he comes. He sends, that's why he comes as Varaha, Narsimhadeva, and he sends some good demons to this world so he can have a good fight. He doesn't fight with all these little Kali Yuga demons. They're not worth his fighting with, but Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, they get empowered by Krishna, so they become powerful enough so that he can have a good fight with them. So, Krishna sets all activities in motion, even the whole universe. How does it come into being? Well, Krishna sets it in motion. There are some theories that God sets the universe in motion, then he goes back to sleep. Well, then that's not fully incorrect. Rather, he is asleep, and then the universe is come out from his body in seed form. And then in another form, he enters into the universe. So he's sleeping and not sleeping. And atheists can't understand this, and actually nor can theists. But they just accept it. So he sets everything in motion. Another meaning of the name, every name is Samirnaha. All the names have many meanings. This name has been associated with Matsya Avatar. The motion implied by the word Irana, from which the word Samirna is derived. That he led the boat with the seeds of creation during his Matsya avatar. This is derived from a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam in which the Trilokyam. What is that? I can't read it. Trilokyam. Liyamanayam samvartam basivaitada abstasyati nau kachit vishalatvam maya irita. So irita, the word is there. So that's connected with Matsya Avatar according to Srimad Bhagavatam. Then another meaning of the word is one who performs acts which are delectable, which means very tasty, very pleasing. So certainly Krishna's activities are very pleasing. Of course, the non-devotees may not be pleased by them, but they're in the minority. Anyway, in this material world, the non-devotees might seem to be in the majority, but they are in the minority. Just like in the prison, if you live in the prison, you might think, well, the majority of people are prisoners, because that's all you see. But they actually form a very small minority. So those who are inimical to Krishna, they form a small minority. And the majority of living beings are free because they relish Krishna's activities. There's a verse by Kunti, very beautiful, but I can't remember it. No, I can't remember it all. But the English translation goes something like this, that Krishna, those who hear about, remember, and take pleasure in hearing your activities, they certainly get delivered. What is that? You can give me one word and I can get it. No? All right. You don't have your computer there. No, can't remember it at all. And the wind, Krishna is the wind, that this, or the air or the breath, that this name comes up elsewhere also in Vishnu Sahasranam. Especially the important name of Krishna, Prana. He is the life force of all living beings. He is the air, or the wind, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Pavanam Pavanam Asmi. Krishna is the, among all purifiers, Krishna is the wind. Krishna is the wind, Krishna is the air. The air is all pervading, outside and inside everything. There's no life without air. So Krishna is the principle by which everything can live and exist. So we cannot be separate from air. So we can see that is Krishna. The air blowing gently in this season, especially the very humid season, monsoon season, that is very pleasing. Dhira Samir, there's one area of Vrindavan called Dhira Samir, or that's glorified in the songs of the acharyas, that one of the features of Vrindavan is the gentle breeze. So we can remember that is Krishna also. I'm still trying to remember that verse, but I just can't get it. So Hare Krishna, I'll finish there and we have to go on. But I would like to get that verse. It's such a nice verse. Do you have the first canto here? Shouldn't forget it. Revision is necessary in Kali Yuga especially. Most people have dull brains and I am not exempt from that. Manda sumanda mati. Shinvanti, Gayanti, but I'm getting mixed up with that other verse. Shinvanti. All right, we'll leave it for now. Do you have the Veda base in your... No. Sa eva pashyant acharena tavakam. Look that up, acharena. Achirena. Eva pravaho paramang padam bhujam. It's Kunti's prayer. Srinvanti gayanti grananti abhikshnasa srinvanti smaranti nandanti tave hitam janaha ta eva pashanti achirena tavakam bhava pravaho paramang padam bhujam. O Krishna, those who hear, chant, and remember you or take pleasure in others doing so, certainly see your lotus feet, and by doing so, they never again see repeated birth and death. What a beautiful verse. Shrinvanti gayanti grananti abhikshnasa smaranti nandanti deve hitang janaha. Ta eva pashantya chirena tavakam bhava pravaho paramang padam bhujam. Even the sound of the Sanskrit is very beautiful. And the translation is very nice. O Krishna, Kunti Devi says, those who hear about, chant about, and remember you, or take pleasures in others, or who take pleasure in others doing so, certainly see your lotus feet, and by doing so, they never again see repeated birth and death. So that one verse is enough inspiration to be in Krishna consciousness, isn't it? If you have faith in it. If you think I'd rather hear, sing, chant about some film star, or about myself, then you won't. But there's such an inspiration to take up Krishna consciousness. Oh, that reminds me. I have these cards. These are for giving away. Yeah, that just reminds me that yesterday, was it? Yeah, yesterday morning I was checking in at Hyderabad airport, and I gave this to the girl at the check-in counter who checked me in. And I gave it to her and she just looked at her. She was delighted, absolutely delighted, in the middle of a, well, she must have been the beginning of a humdrum day in which she's checking people in, saying, have a great flight, again and again and again, like a machine. She was actually delighted. I mean, I tend to doubt that she was a great elevated transcendentalist, but she was very happy to see this picture of Krishna. And I think in Surat, even up to the present day, there are many people who, at least at some level, are actually attracted to Krishna. Yes. They like to hear about Krishna. So you have a good opportunity to preach Krishna consciousness. One side, Krishna playing the flute with the cows. And on the other side, Srila Prabhupada. So if you like, in the middle of your busy lives, you can remember that verse and remember its purport. Hare Krishna.